Today is a day that will be called by many Super Sunday. For many of them, they are referring to an event that will take place later this evening that I will watch, but it's not what makes today super. Today is a Super Sunday, and every Sunday is a Super Sunday, and what makes it so super, to use that term, is that God did make us the objects of His love. And the reality is, once he wakes up back there, the other reality is that God has revealed himself to men. And we have the wonderful knowledge that we are the objects of his love, simply because God has made that known to you and to me. I'll invite you to find two places in your Bible this morning. The first is found in Psalm 19. The second is found in Romans chapter 1. Psalm 19 and Romans chapter 1 this morning. We'll be in both places throughout our message this morning, along with some other passages of Scripture, as we again consider this thought of God revealed to men. H.G. Wells, a British writer that is best known for his works in science fiction, works such as The War of the Worlds, The Time Machine, and The Invisible Man, was not a profoundly religious man. Yet, he made a very good observation when he made this statement. Religion is the first thing and the last thing. And until a man has found God and been found by God, he begins at no beginning. He works to no end. He may have his friendships, his partial loyalties, his scraps of honor. But all these things fall into place, and life falls into place only with God. To many today in our world, God is, as Paul found him in Athens, to be the unknown God. Some today believe that he is altogether unknowable, yet you and I understand from the pages of God's Word that that concept is utterly false. God can be known, and God has made himself known unto us. This morning we're going to consider that theme of the revelation of God, God revealed to men. Before we do that, though, would you bow with me, though, in a word of prayer, and let's ask God's blessing upon our time and our study. Father, we are so thankful this morning for the opportunity to be able to come and gather together, to study together your word and the truths that are found therein. We thank you, Father, that you have made these things known to us. Without your revelation, there is nothing that we would truly understand nor know about you. But Lord, you have revealed yourself to us, and for that we're so thankful. And Lord, we are thankful that you have revealed that we are the objects of your love. You have loved us with an everlasting love. And Lord, you demonstrated that love by sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, we'll gather around the Lord's table to remember that sacrifice which he has made. But Father, we thank you this morning that we can come now and consider the truth found in your word. We'll thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we want to again come to the Word of God and discover and understand more fully the truth that God has revealed himself to man. And as we do so this morning, we have to first begin by defining the concept of revelation. The concept of revelation. When it comes to the study of the revelation of God, it's important that we understand that God, it is God in his revelation that makes the study or any study of theology possible. You and I would know nothing had it not been that God had revealed himself to us. You and I would not truly understand how this world began. You and I would not understand who God is and what there is to know about God had God not made himself known. When you come to the study of Revelation, it's important that it is God that has made this study possible. It is God that has revealed himself to us. Henry Thiessen wrote this about the revelation of God. He states and says, revelation is the act of God whereby he discloses himself or communicates truth to the mind, whereby he makes manifest to his creatures that which could not be known in any other way. There is no way for you and I to know any truth about God except He made it known to us. We could have tried to study, we could have tried to discover, we could have tried to come up with our own imagination who God is, and many try to do that still today. But the reality is we can know nothing of God except God had revealed Himself to us. Lewis Berry Schaefer of Dallas Theological Seminary made this comment. He said, accordingly, the proper concept of revelation does not refer to what one can discover by rational process or by observation, but rather to what God communicates to him. As you and I begin to understand more of the revelation of God, we ought to thank Him that He has taken the time to reveal Himself to us. It is a blessed truth to realize that God has made Himself known. Can I remind you, He was under no obligation to do such. Yet God made Himself known to mankind. And He has made it possible that we know Him in a very personal and real way. So as we consider the revelation of God, we're going to divide this concept as we seek to explain it really into two basic categories as we understand it. When you talk about the revelation of God, there are two types of revelation that we need to know. God has revealed Himself first through general revelation and second through special revelation. So we want to take the moment or the time to not only define what revelation is, but we want to take some time and now explain it. And we want to begin with the general revelation of God. God has made Himself known to you, and God has made Himself known to me. He has made Himself known to all mankind through His general revelation. How is it that God has revealed Himself to all mankind? And when we understand the general revelation of God, we also understand that He has made Himself or made this revelation available to all and accessible by all. So how has God done that? First of all, we understand that God has given Himself in general revelation and the fact that God has revealed Himself in nature. God has revealed Himself in nature. I've asked you to turn to two passages. Psalm 19, look with me at verses 1 through 4. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Folks, it is universal. "Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun." God has made Himself known to all mankind through His creation, through nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want you to look with me at verse 18 and verse 21. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." God has made Himself known to all mankind through nature. Again, Psalm 19 makes it very clear, most recognizable passage on this truth, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Our world points to a Creator. Our world points that there is one greater than us that has made us.
In the nature, man sees that there is a God, and man understands that one must exist. Through nature, we find revealed the glory of God, and we see His power. When you look out into nature and you look up into the heavens, you see the glory of God. His firmament shows His handiwork. Everything around us in creation points that there is one greater than us who made all things, that there is a God. And God has revealed Himself to man simply through the realm of nature. But again, as you look back at Romans chapter 1, you find that although God has revealed Himself, man has rejected the God who has made Himself known. And God's power is seen and understood. But what Romans chapter 1 tells us very clearly is this, that through that revelation by the means of nature, man no longer is without excuse. There are some that say that I cannot know God. Some can say I don't know that there is a God. God says men are without excuse. Because the invisible is known through that which is visible. See, the heavens declare that there is a God. And there is one that we ought to worship and to acknowledge. Just because man rejects the fact that there's a God, doesn't mean there's not a God. Because the heavens make it clear, creation and nature shout forth the praise of the one who made it. And man no longer is without excuse. God has revealed Himself through nature. God has also revealed Himself in the general form through providence. By the very providence of God, He has made Himself known to man. What we mean by that is this. God is known because we know that there is one who is in control of all things. You know, the scripture tells us that it is God that makes the sun to shine and the rains to fall, therefore supplying for the necessary goods by which we can live and function. Consider Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 with me. It says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Most of us will look around and we see the weather patterns that we are forced to live under. We see things like fog and rain and snow and all the things and say, wouldn't we love just to have sunshine? Saw a report on the news as I was flipping through last night. California is complaining of the fact that today in their land it is blue skies and sunshine. You know why? Because they're in a period of drought, and usually January is the wettest month for them, the most important month for their crops. And the reality is that's not going to happen because there wasn't a drop of rain that fell in the month of January. We look at things and go, that'd be great. I wish we didn't see any snow in January. Well, we did. We're going to see more in February, as you can tell. The reality is this. It is God, though, who gives all those things. You and I kind of take for granted some of those things. We go to the grocery store, we pick up what we need, we pick up our fresh fruit and vegetables. But the reality, folks, those things come because God makes it to rain upon the earth. It is God who does those things. It is God who is in control. In the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, God reveals Himself by providentially giving food to all mankind. Here's what we read. In saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also of men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness. How does God leave His witness? In that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, Daniel admits that the providence of God and the control of all things is seen, and that He is the one who brings up, who rises up and casts down rulers. He says, He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Folks, when you understand that it is God who is in control of all things, you look around at our political systems, you look around at the worlds today, and the reality is it is God who sets men up and God who takes them down. God's in control. Why? Because He is working all things according to His will, after His plan. And He is bringing the world to the place that one day He is going to send the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule and reign upon this earth. But it is God who sets up. It is God who takes down kings and nations. You go back and you study throughout history and you're going to find powerful nations. Nations that rule the world. One of the first great empires of all time was Egypt. You think much of Egypt today? Oh, it might be a neat place to go see some old relics, but that's about as far as we consider Egypt today. Babylon. The great and mighty Babylon. You think that much of Iraq today? Not really. But that was a great nation in its time, and God used it in a mighty way. Rome. Oh, the great and mighty Rome. How could Rome have ever fallen? But it did. Italy might be a place to go get some good pasta. We might enjoy their olive oil. But we don't think much of Rome today. Usually when we think of Rome, we think of the Roman Catholic Church and we think of the Pope. And that's about the extent of it. Britain was once a mighty empire. The United States used to be strong and powerful. Not much anymore. There are not many great nations. It is God who rises up. It is God who throws down. It is God who sets up kings and God who sets up nations for His time and for His season. And then He sets them aside. Folks, God is in control. His providence. He is ruling and reigning. Isaiah 40 tells us that the nations of the earth are as a drop in the bucket, and they are vanity to the Lord. There is nothing out of God's control, and that truth gives man a revelation of himself about God for which he will be accountable. There is one who rules the earth, and one to whom all men will be accountable. But God has also revealed himself not only through nature and not only through providence. God has revealed himself in the conscience of man. You're in Romans chapter 1. Just look over to Romans chapter 2 and look with me, if you would, to verse 14 and 15. There we read, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Verse 16 tells us that in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God has made himself known through the conscience of man. God has made himself known, for he has written within our hearts his law. Every man is going to be held accountable to the moral law of God because God has written it within the heart. How do you and I know that it's wrong to lie, to steal, to commit adultery, to murder, to covet, to rebel against authority? How do we know those things aren't wrong? Well, we all memorize the Ten Commandments. I wonder this morning this. I wonder if I went around the room and put you on the spot and said, name for me in order the Ten Commandments, if you could do it. I hope he doesn't start with me. Anybody know what number one is? Oh, good. You got number one well. Why do we know those things are right or wrong? It's not because we have the Ten Commandments. That's a blessing that he gave them to us. But folks, we know those things are wrong because God has written it within our heart. No one has to teach us to lie, but we know it's wrong when we lie. Right? Every child knows that to lie to their parents is wrong, not because the parents have sat down and explained to them the consequences of lying. The reality is, they know it's wrong because God has written it within their heart. God has revealed Himself to us, and He has showed us through our conscience. Now, folks, understand, our conscience isn't perfect. It can be warped, it can be seared, it can be perverted. But God has revealed Himself through our conscience, and the reality is we are one day going to be held accountable for what God has revealed. As we've considered the general revelation of God, and we see how God has revealed Himself to us, folks, we understand that we are without excuse and responsible for our sin. The general revelation of God lets us know I'm a sinner. The general revelation of God lets me know that there is one greater than myself to whom I'm accountable. But what the general revelation of God doesn't give us is John 3:16. For that, we need the special revelation of God. See, the gospel is given to us by means of the special revelation of God. The truth that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's given to us through the special revelation of God. When we consider the special revelation of God, we consider there are two basic categories of that revelation. Special revelation refers to the times when God reveals Himself, He makes Himself and His truth known to special peoples at special times. And those two categories that we find of this special revelation are found in the written Word of God, the Bible, and the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has revealed Himself to us in a more specific way through those two means, through the Word of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given a special revelation of God. Why? Why did you and I need that special revelation of God? Why do we need the Bible? Why do we need for Jesus Christ to come to the earth and reveal to us as the express image of God truth concerning the Father? Special revelation is necessitated because of the fall of man into sin. Man has turned from God's general revelation and was in need of that truth. Again, in Romans chapter 1, we are told very clearly, verse 18, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that when they knew God, or may be known of God, is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, and clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they would not glorify Him as God. They turned from that revelation. And man, because of sin, is now in need of the truth of the gospel. Adam and Eve were given simply the revelation of God. They knew God. They talked with God. They walked with Him face to face. But they turned from Him. And thankfully, folks, at the time that they turned from Him, He gave to them a special revelation. And that revelation was this, that there would come one day, the Messiah, the seed of a woman. And although His heel would be bruised by the serpent, He would so crush the head and conquer sin and death. The gospel. We have been given a special revelation of God because of the fall of man, because of our sin. And without the special revelation of God, without the written word, we would be without knowledge of the gospel. And I'm thankful God has given to us such truth. We have found within the Word of God the truth of His salvation. We've quoted John 3:16. Consider other verses like Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You and I would not have known that except God had revealed it unto us. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In God's special revelation, we also find not only truth concerning His salvation, but we find truth concerning the very person of God. How do you and I know that God is holy? Isaiah chapter 6 reveals it very clearly to us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And about the throne of God were the seraphim, each having six wings. With twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And that knowledge shook the post of the temple. And the earth was filled with smoke. How do I know that my God is a holy God? Because I'm told very clearly that He is. Thou art of purer eyes than behold evil. Thou cannot look upon iniquity. Habakkuk 1 and verse 13. Through the revelation, I am told about the very person of God. We read this morning from Psalm 145, which reminds us of the mercy and the grace of our God. How do I know that there's mercy and grace for my salvation? I think of a passage like Ephesians chapter 2. And you who were dead in trespasses and sin hath He quickened. It goes through there in the first three verses, and it talks about that we were by nature the children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, verse 4. For in the great love wherein He has loved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I learned of the mercy and the grace of God through His Word. We study the book of 1 John. As you study through the book of 1 John, you can't help but learn the truth that God is a God of love. Especially as He speaks very plainly to that in chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 40 talks about the strength of God. Even the youth will faint, but God never fails. So they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. In Psalm 139, we find the truth revealed to us about the power, the omnipotence of God. We also learn about His omniscience, that there is nothing He does not know about us. And David actually says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me." There is nothing He does not know. There is no place that I can escape His presence. How do we know all those things about our God? He has revealed it to us. We know of His power, His presence, His wisdom. God's special revelation, though, also gives to us, again, the living Word of God. And through the living Word, we learn more of our Savior and our God. Colossians 1 verse 19 tells us that in Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead revealed. How do we understand who God is? We study the life and the person of Jesus Christ. For in Him is all the fullness of God revealed. In Christ, we see God, for He is the image or the exact representation of man to God. That's what Colossians 1 verse 15 and Hebrews 1 verse 3 tell us, that He is the express image of God. We learn of God, we learn of Him as we learn of Christ. We study Him. In John 1 verse 18, we're reminded that no man has ever seen God. But in Christ, He has declared God to us. Jesus Christ declares both the words of God and the works of God. Through His miracles, He revealed His power. He showed us His compassion, His control, His authority. We learn much about God through the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All of that is the special revelation of God. It's precious to consider. It's precious to behold. I was doing some study this week. I was looking for a few things by way of illustration. I came across something that I thought was very interesting. Folks, there is not a book of the Bible that does not reveal a specific truth about our God or our Savior. He is in every book. Now, it's a truth we know. We said it for those, you know, the scarlet thread throughout Genesis through Revelation. It is Jesus Christ. Have you ever taken the time to really think about how He's revealed? I'm going to give you a sampling. I didn't put all 66 books up there because that would take us a little bit too long. But let me give you a sampling of how we find God in every book. Consider with me the book of Genesis. We find the promised seed. In the book of Exodus, we find Him as the Passover lamb.
In the book of Exodus, he's the scapegoat who takes away the sin from the camp. In the book of Numbers, he's the brazen serpent that if we look to him, he gives us life. In Deuteronomy, he's the lawgiver. Go down a little bit further, we find in the book of Ruth, he is the kinsman redeemer. Job, we find the friend who sticks closer than a brother. In Psalms, we find the song of all the ages. And the book of Proverbs, we find him who is the truth. We come into our New Testament, we find in the Gospels, Matthew reveals to us that he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Mark reveals to us that he is the suffering servant. Luke reveals to us that he is the Son of Man. And John tells us clearly he is the Son of God. As you come into the New Testament later, into the epistles of the book of Acts, we find that in the book of Acts, he is the power of the church. Ephesians tells us that he is the heavenly one who sits and causes us to sit with him in heavenly places. Philippians tells us that he is our sufficiency. And the two books of Thessalonians tell us that he is the coming Christ. Paul will later write to Timothy, and in the book of Timothy, we find him to be our great God. Titus reveals to us that he is our blessed hope. Hebrews tells us that he is the best of all. There is none who compares to Christ, to our God. Revelation tells us he's the lamb that was slain. He's the one who is the crowned king. In every book of the Bible, he has been revealed to us. God has made himself known to you and to me. Is that not a blessing to your heart this morning? Oh, I realize that some of these truths can be considered by some to be so elementary. We know some of this, Pastor. But I want you to let it sink in that without the revelation of God, you would have known none of this. But God, through the general revelation, let us know his glory and of his power. And he lets us know that he exists. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no voice, there is no land where that voice is never heard. It is universal. Because of that revelation, we are without excuse. And it should cause us to want to know more. And God has given us more through special revelation, through the Word of God and the living Word, Jesus Christ. And as you and I hold before us the Word of God, the written Word of God, that more sure word of prophecy, as Peter refers to it, it ought to be to us so precious. For in every book and in every page and on every line is God revealed to us. What a blessed truth. What a wonderful reality. You and I were undeserving of such revelation, yet God made himself known. We know that he is in control of all things. His providence is guiding the events and the affairs of man. We understand his morality in our conscience, and in doing so, he shows us that we are condemned. But his word reveals that he loves us with an everlasting love. If you don't believe it, then study the life of Christ, and you'll find that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died that you might live. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. And the chastisement of your peace was upon him. By his stripes, you were healed. All of that is revealed to us through God and his word. Let us this morning rejoice in the goodness that God has been revealed to men. Would you pray with me, please?